made a passing comment, either on this podcast or this summer on the blog, about how we don't really know what a player can do until they've done it. So in other words, you wouldn't normally see, let's say, a wide receiver in the top 10 in the preseason rankings if they've never been better than 25th. The market wants to see that it's possible before they start really investing in that player. So, you know, in Seattle, Kenneth Walker is ahead of Zach Charbonnet for obvious reasons, depth chart. If Charbonnet goes toe-to-toe and they're 1A and 1B, then if all things being equal, if they're still in the backfield next year, then we will see Charbonnet's ADP obviously jump closer to where he was this year. That's just kind of the way it works. We all get that inherently. But it leaves room for, you know, the question of which guys who have not made it to that next level are going to make it this year. If you can figure that out with some degree of accuracy, then you're going to win your league almost every time because you're picking the right players at the right time as they're ascending. Picking at the right place, right time, right player, right time in terms of draft, you know, round, and also in terms of year, and you are essentially locking in guys with high upside who will deliver on that upside. Jamar Chase is an easy number one overall pick because we know he can get 400 points. Lamar Jackson is an easy number one quarterback because we know he can get 400 points. The harder part is figuring out, well, who could get 400 points who's never come close? Again, that makes all the difference. I've been pretty clear for most of the summer that there's some wide receivers who I think are vastly undervalued. And I'd like to spend a few minutes today talking about why some of these guys could realistically be the WR1 this season. Realistically, I've got to stretch it out a little bit. Realistic doesn't mean they have a 30% chance. It just means, would we be that surprised if they were? And that's what it comes down to. If we're not that surprised by the possibility, and if we believe that they're ascending, then maybe they're ranked too low. Jackson Smith and Jigba is a great example. I talked about how in a mock draft I drafted him in the late second round yesterday, and he is still sitting here with a 33 overall ADP. He's the 14th ranked wide receiver behind T. Higgins and Tyreek Hill. Now, I get the fact that we'll call him JSN, is playing alongside Cooper Kupp, is playing with Sam Darnold, who's had one terrific year, but, you know, his ADP suggests that the market doesn't really buy into Sam Darnold. And then a strong backfield, Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, that could carry the load and keep the chains moving. Maybe Darnold isn't throwing as much as I would want him to in this offense. That said, Cooper Kupp is like 32 years old. And Torrey Horton is kind of the number three. And, you know, when he's healthy, he's untested. They got rid of Noah Fant. They've got unproven and unremarkable in terms of historically combination of tight ends. This is essentially an offense with two very good running backs who in some ways will potentially cancel each other out. We'll see. And then we've got two wide receivers. And one wide receiver happens to be 32 and on the downside of his career has struggled to stay healthy in recent years and been consistent. And then on the other side of it, you have JSN, who's like 23, 24 years old. And is the clear cut, as far as I can see, number one. I don't think Kupp is going to come close to being the number one in that offense. I could be very wrong, but I think Kupp is more of a, you know, if he plays the full season, 900 to 1,000 yards, maybe five scores, maybe 70 catches, 80 catches. I could see that. I could see JSN pushing it to the next level and getting 100 catches for 1,300 yards, putting up, you know, Justin Jefferson kind of numbers. And why not? He is arguably about as talented as Jefferson. It's just that Jefferson has a couple years on him, maybe 3 years on him. I think in 2 to 3 years, JSN will be a perennial top five, or at least perennial, then he's been there, and we start to expect it. I think his ADP next summer will be somewhere in the top 5 to 7. It doesn't mean that he's going to finish in the top 5 to 7 for that to happen. It usually means ascending. So he might finish ninth, and then based on his youth and based on whatever personnel situations happen in Seattle, he might get that little tiny bump. But if he finishes ninth this year, he's not going to be number one next year. I mean, that just doesn't happen. So for him to be number one, he needs to be the main targeted Seattle wide receiver on a team where only four guys are dominating the touches. And I think right now that's realistic, which is why I think his 14th ranking doesn't make much sense. And if I were to play for ceiling, I would say he's top five if you play for ceiling. Another guy who I really like, no surprise to anybody, is Marvin Harrison Jr. He's the 43rd ranked overall player, 19th ranked wide receiver. It is interesting. I was telling a subscriber earlier today, signed up for a phone call. So we had a phone conversation as he prepared for his draft. And, we talked about Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr., and how Marvin Harrison Jr. was supposed to be the breakout star last year. And Nabers' ADP was, set back, considerably. And it turned out the roles were reversed. Nabers was the breakout star and Marvin Harrison Jr. struggled. I've talked about Harrison Jr. before. I don't want to belabor it. I think he easily has top five potential. His offense is even thinner, arguably, than Seattle's. Michael Wilson, is not the same caliber as, Cooper Kupp. And yes, they do have Trey McBride, but I think that they have a slightly more vulnerable backfield. I think Walker and Charbonnet, are combined more talented than a whatever 30-year-old Connor and a mostly unproven Trey Benson, who I really like. Trey Benson is 49 ADP, 49 running back ADP. But, I'd rather entrust, my fantasy prospects with Seattle's backfield. So Marvin Harrison Jr., aside from Trey McBride, really does stand out as the pure alpha in that offense. Yeah, he could easily get 100 catches for 1,200 yards and 7-8 scores. It's just about the commitment to him in that offense and whether he and Kyler Murray are more on the same page than they were when Harrison was a rookie. If you want to go really deep, and I don't think it's that deep, and I mentioned this on one of my earliest podcast episodes, and I need to bring it up again, is Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith was a top 10 fantasy wide receiver 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember, but A.J. Brown was top 10 and Devontae Smith was top 10. Smith's ADP has not been great since, mostly because it's kind of a what have you done lately. And he hasn't always been healthy. I get it. That's why he's the 24th ranked wide receiver. He's 55th overall. I think he's a steal. He's not a steal because his floor is super high. I think his floor is about where he is, maybe even a little bit lower. But his ceiling is top 10. And when you've got a guy whose ceiling is top 10, but the ADP doesn't reflect it, and he's still age-wise in his prime or pre-prime, but probably close to prime, again, an offense where I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to stay healthy all season, and that's going to put even more pressure on A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And it's easy to see why Smith could match what he's done, what he did 2 or 3 years ago, and finishes the, I think, WR9, and he can go a step further than that. He is that talented. So, to summarize, JSN, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Devontae Smith, all three guys, if I were drafting and I lucked out, and let's say I drafted, Bijan Robinson or whatever with the first pick or something like that, and then my next three were, actually, I don't even need to take JSN in the second round. Second round, I could take, another running back. I could take a receiver. I could take Brian Thomas probably in the second round. Not if I take Bijan Robinson, but you get the idea. You know, maybe a T. Higgins or something like that. You can then come back in the third round, take JSN, and then push it a little bit. And in the fourth round, If Marvin Harrison Jr. is gone, then you could go Devontae Smith. And there you go. You've got a pretty super team if you believe, as I do, that those guys all have high upsides. That between Smith, Harrison, and JSN, if I can get two of those three roughly at their price points, I am getting guys with the capacity to do much better. That's the most you can hope for in a fantasy draft. I'm BJ Riddell, Fantasy Football for Winners. Follow me online. Email me anytime. Sign up for the rankings. See you tomorrow.